In today's news headlines, opening arguments in the trial of Derek Chauvin opened on Monday as the prosecution presented arguments and brought in their witnesses to make the case that the police officer murdered George Floyd.
We're going to show you through the evidence that there was no excuse for the police abuse of Mr. Chauvin. We're going to ask at the end of this case that you find Mr. Chauvin guilty for his excessive use of force against George Floyd that was an assault that contributed to taking his life, and for engaging in imminently dangerous behavior, putting the knee on the neck, the knee on the back, for 9 minutes and 29 seconds without regard for Mr. Floyd's life. We're going to ask that you find him guilty of murder in the second degree, murder in the third degree, and second degree manslaughter. Thank you.
The 12 jurors who will decide whether or not to hold Chauvin accountable were seated at the start of the trial and shown the entire video of Floyd's last moments of life as Officer Chauvin held him face down on the street with his body weight pressing down on his knee as it wedged over Floyd's neck. Floyd said, "I can't breathe," 27 times before dying. Gina Scurry, a witness brought in by the prosecution, explained what she saw on a surveillance camera as a 911 dispatcher watching police officers and Mr. Floyd and becoming increasingly concerned.
It's a multitude of different things that ran through my brain, but I became concerned that something might be wrong.
Wrong with what? What are you thinking?
It was a gut instinct of, in the incident, something's not going right. Whether it be they needed more assistance, or if there just something wasn't right. I don't know how to explain it. It was a gut instinct.
That's Gina Scurry, the 911 dispatcher, who ended up calling the police on the police as Floyd's life was slipping away. The Washington Post expressed the significance of the case, saying, quote, "The jurors are charged with deciding one of the highest profile cases in recent memory, set to begin Monday in a downtown courtroom a few miles from where Floyd was filmed face down on a Minneapolis street. Their decision will reverberate across the country, setting off renewed debates about race, policing, and accountability." The night before the trial, Floyd's family members and others held a vigil at a church in Minneapolis, at which activist Al Sharpton and attorney Benjamin Crump spoke.
The criminal justice system is on trial tomorrow. Chauvin is in the courtroom, but America's on trial. And nobody can tell me if that was a white citizen down the ground who the police had restrained and handcuffed, face down with their knee on his neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, that this would be a hard case.
In other news, thousands of people marched in cities across the U.S. over the weekend for Stop Asian Hate rallies. In Los Angeles, home to a very significant Asian American population, people gathered in Koreatown and marched down Olympic Boulevard chanting and drumming.
We need to stand up against those who attempted to downplay racist attacks against Asian Americans.
The rallies drew attention to the recent mass shootings in Atlanta, Georgia, where a white gunman is suspected of killing 6 Asian women and 2 others at 3 different spas. In other news, President Joe Biden plans to roll out 2 infrastructure spending bills this week, with the first one focusing on green energy and the second one on child care and health care. Senator Bernie Sanders, chair of the powerful budget committee, plans to push through his health care agenda through the second bill. Political reports that Sanders is, quote, urging Democrats to force Medicare to enter into negotiations with drug companies and use that revenue to pay for a huge expansion of Medicare that involves lowering the eligibility age from 65 to 55 and expanding it to include dental and vision coverage. Sanders wrote an op-ed in The Guardian on Monday called "The Rich-Poor Gap in America is Obscene, So Let's Fix It." In it, he explained the importance of raising the minimum wage, making it easier for workers to join unions, and enacting fairer taxation, among other things. President Biden on Monday will give an address at the White House updating his administration's response to the coronavirus pandemic as cases of infection begin to surge upward once more. The Biden Health and Human Services Department is reportedly working with private companies on creating a vaccine passport, which vaccinated Americans could use to show that they're not a risk as they begin resuming economic activity. Underscoring the importance of vaccines, federal health scientists reported on Monday that the two early vaccines approved for use, manufactured by Moderna and Pfizer BioNTech, are highly effective at preventing both symptomatic and asymptomatic infections. The New York Times explained that, quote, there has been debate over whether vaccinated people can still get asymptomatic infections and transmit the virus to others. The study by researchers at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention suggested that since infections were so rare, transmission is likely rare too. And two doctors, Jeremy Samuel Faust and Angela L. Rasmussen, wrote an op-ed on Monday explaining that the pandemic cannot truly end without vaccinating children. They wrote that, quote, even a small number of critical COVID-19 cases among children is worth vaccinating against. But more importantly, quote, is the possibility that the virus will continue to spread and mutate into more dangerous variants, including ones that could harm both children and adults. A leaked report from the World Health Organization about the origins of COVID-19 has concluded that the virus most likely emerged in bats before spreading to humans. The report is a result of research by a team of WHO scientists who traveled to Wuhan, China, where the virus is thought to have originated. When the virus first emerged, the U.S. government, then headed by Donald Trump, responded in such a disorganized manner that government scientists are now admitting hundreds of thousands of deaths might have been preventable. Dr. Deborah Birx, who had refrained from criticizing the government last year, said this in an interview with CNN that aired on Sunday.
The first time we have an excuse. There were about 100,000 deaths that came from that original surge. All of the rest of them, in my mind, could have been mitigated or decreased substantially.
In response, California Congressman Ted Lieu tweeted, quote, the malicious incompetence that resulted in hundreds of thousands of unnecessary deaths starts at the top with the former president and his enablers. And who was one of his enablers? Dr. Birx, who was afraid to challenge his unscientific rhetoric and wrongfully praised him. Nearly 6,000 warehouse workers at an Amazon facility in Bessemer, Alabama, have had 7 weeks to cast ballots to decide whether to join the retail, wholesale, and department store union. Monday was the last day to file ballots, but the results may take days or even weeks to tally. If the workforce, which is more than 80% Black, decides to join the union, they will be the first group of Amazon workers in the United States to do so. Vox reported that recent critical tweets from Amazon's official account and those of some of its executives aimed at Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren about the union can be traced back to Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, who has reportedly directed his company to fight harder in the information war over the union. And that does it for our news headlines.